If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter 62. Psalm chapter 62, an appropriate song to go along with the theme of the message today, which has to do with how to deal and handle hard times. And certainly all of us have had hard times. Some of us are going through some hard times right now. We feel like that we've been knocked down, but perhaps we could say with the Apostle Paul, knocked down but not knocked out. So we sometimes have to face some very hard times, and we struggle with that. It's difficult. And this psalm is a psalm that David wrote in response to and while experiencing a very difficult, very hard time in his life. It is believed that this psalm, Psalm 62, was written during the time of Absalom's rebellion. You may recall Absalom was the son of David. He was the one with the long hair. His sister Tamar had been raped, and his father would not do anything about it. He wouldn't punish the one who had committed the crime, and so Absalom became very upset with him. If you were to go back and read in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 15, you'll read the story about the rebellion of Absalom. Absalom went into exile for a while, at which time David had no communication with him whatsoever. Then after a period of time, Absalom was brought back to the home, although as he entered the city limits, David's instructions were he was to go to his own house, that he did not want to see Absalom. He said, I don't want to look upon his face. And the Bible says that this went on for 3 years. David never did anything about punishing the person who had molested his daughter and wouldn't have anything to do with Absalom. And so Absalom became very upset, very angry. He started an insurrection against his father to try to usurp his father from the throne and to become king himself. And then, of course, because of that, David had to flee the city and leave his throne behind. And so it was a very difficult, hard time for David. And so he wrote this chapter. Let's look at it. Psalms chapter 62, beginning with verse 1. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. You may notice out in the margin area the word Selah. Most of the Psalms were written to be sung. And this word Selah means to pause, just as in music there is a pause time, a sign that says to rest. And this word Selah means to pause and think about this, pause and meditate on it. And so then in verse 5 he says, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Pause and think about this. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness or mercy is yours, O Lord, for you recompense or reward a man according to his work. So in these 12 verses of Scripture, David gives to us instructions on what to do when you are experiencing and facing a very hard time, a very difficult time, no matter what it might be. There are three things that he says. First of all, he is saying to us that we ought to turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord, he says. Now notice in verse 1, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not greatly be shaken. I shall not greatly be shaken or be greatly shaken. And then in verses 5, 6, and 7, again he says, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my mouth, my strength, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. So what he's saying to us here in verse 1 is, my soul waits in silence for God only. Only. Now, it's interesting that the word only appears four times in these verses. In chapter 62, verse 1, verse 2, verse 5, verse 6, he's making it very clear that he's not turning to men, he's not turning to other things, and not turning to anyone but to God. God and God alone is the one to whom he turns. My soul waits in silence for God only, for him is my salvation. He only is my rock. And so he excludes everything and everyone else. He turns exclusively to the Lord, and it is he and he alone who is his help. And he says in verse 1, my soul waits in silence for God. Now, it's very difficult for us in our day and time to be silent. We're talking all the time. There's noise all around us all the time. If I were to say to you right now, let's just stop and not a word be said for 1 minute, for 60 seconds, it would seem like an eternity for most of us, because we've got to have constantly got TV on, the radio on, somebody's got to be talking, the phone's got to be ringing, we chatter, we talk, even when we pray. It's always a one-way street for us. We talk to God. We never sit and listen in silence and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts. It's called meditation. And yet here he says, God alone, God only, nobody else. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. He is my refuge. And I will wait silently before him. Silently before him. Now notice also in verse 5. My soul, but notice in verse 1, he says, my soul waits. The word waits is spelled W-A-I-T-S. So he's talking about a process that's going on in his life. My soul waits while I'm in the process of waiting upon the Lord. But now notice in verse 5, it's singular. There's no S on it. My soul wait in silence for God. It's almost like a command. I'm commanding my soul. I'm taking control of my soul, and I'm saying to my soul, soul, wait. Wait upon God. Notice also in verse 5, he says, for my hope is from him. If you have the King James translation of the Bible, the word hope is expectation. My expectation is in God. But there's a further definition to this word hope or expectation. In the Hebrew language, it's the word that comes that gives us also the word rope, R-O-P-E. And it is the same word in the Hebrew language that's used over in the book of Joshua, chapter 2 and verse 18. You may remember that before they conquered the promised land, Joshua had sent slaves into the city of Jericho, and there was a harlot there. And she recognized these two spies, these two men whom Joshua had sent in to explore the land and the cities. And her house was built on the wall. And she had a window that would open out to the wall. And I mean, it was just straight drop down. And so when these two men came, they went to this house, this harlot's house. And when they got ready to leave, she let a rope out the window. And they went down this rope and escaped. So the rope was let down so that they could escape. Here he is saying, my rope, my hope, my expectation, my hope is God has sent a rope to me, not to let me down, but that I might get out of this pit, that I might get out of this trouble. My hope is in God and God alone. And it's his salvation. It's his salvation. Notice he says in verse 1, my soul waits silently for God only, for him or from him is my salvation. Now the word salvation can also be translated deliverance, because that's what salvation is. When you're saved, what does God do for you? He delivers you from sin. He delivers you from the penalty and the power and ultimately the very presence of sin. But salvation is a deliverance. Now, I don't think that David is saying here that he needs to be delivered in salvation from sin. His deliverance is from the rebellion of Absalom, the hard time that he's dealing with. And he says, Lord, I need help here. You are my only hope. You are my expectation. Give me the rope whereby I might climb out of this difficult situation. You and you alone for my salvation or deliverance is who I'm turning to. Not only does he speak out as turning to the Lord for salvation, but for security. Look at verse 2. For security, he says, you are my stronghold. A stronghold here would be a fortress. He mentions it again in verse 6. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. So he is saying, God is my fortress. What does a fortress do? A fortress is a source of security for you. And so he says, God, you're my security. Look at verse 7. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. So he's turning to the Lord, and he's turning to the Lord for deliverance or salvation, and he's turning to the Lord for security. God, you are my stronghold. I'm hiding myself in you. You are my refuge. You're the one that I'm running to in order to get help and security. So he turns to the Lord for salvation. He turns to the Lord for security. In the third place, he turns to the Lord for strength. Again, look at verse 2. He says, you are my stronghold. He says, you are my rock. You are my rock. Well, by the word rock here, he means a rock that doesn't move. And so he is the one who gives him the security that he needs, the strength that he needs. Notice also in verse 2, he says, I shall not be greatly shaken, greatly shaken. But notice, if you would please, down in verse 6, he says, my stronghold, I shall not be shaken. So at one place he says, I will not be greatly shaken. Now he says, I will not be shaken at all. So he finds the Lord to be the strength that he needs. He is David's rock that gives him strength and stability and security. All of us know the name of Elvis Presley. We still sing and hum his songs. Elvis Presley grew up poor in Mississippi. When he was 18 years old, he was a truck driver. He earned $14 a week driving a truck. But then one day, he on a little challenge, a little prank, a little lark, he recorded a song. Of course, the rest of it is history. He became the highest paid entertainer of all times in the history of America. On one occasion, Elvis Presley said that he would give $1 million for just 1 week of peace. Just 1 week of peace. He said, I'd give anybody $1 million if I could walk down the street in the city in which I live and not be harassed by anybody. All I want is just 1 week of peace. His theme song, I'm all shook up. I'm all shook up. And yet here, the psalmist is saying, when you stand on the rock, when Jesus is your refuge, when he is your stronghold, you're not going to let the hard times shake you up, for you're on a firm foundation. So when you're going through a hard time, turn to the Lord. Here's the second thing that he is saying, not only to turn to the Lord, but trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Look at verse 8. Trust in him, he says. Look at verse 10. Do not trust in oppression. So he's saying, not only do I turn to the Lord, but I turn to the Lord because I've put my trust in the Lord. And notice two things about this trust that he's putting in the Lord. It's constant. He says in verse 8 that he will put his trust in the Lord at all times. Not just here and there, not just in this situation or another, But at all times, it is a constant trust that he puts in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. So constantly, at all times, he is saying, I'm putting my trust in the Lord. Not only does he do it constantly, it's a correct thing for him to do. He doesn't put his trust in men. Look at verse 9. He says, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Now, by men of low degree, this is an expression that means a common person, just a regular, everyday, common, run-of-the-mill type of individual. He said, but I'm not going to put my trust in just a common man. But then neither is he going to put his trust in men who are of higher rank. He says, men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. The balances of which they go up, they're lighter than a feather. You can't trust them. So I'm not going to put my trust in men. But then he says, neither will I put my trust in money. Look at it in verse 10. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. He says, don't put your trust in money. Jesus said you can't, you know, have loyalty and commitment to both God and manna. Word manna there means money. And so, you know, There's two places where you understand that you can't put your trust in money. One is the Bible, and the other is the income tax form. You know, how much money did you make? How much money did you lose? And subtract the difference and send all of it, rest of it back into the government. So he said, you know, in the stock market, man, all it takes is just one little decision. You wake up in the morning, all your money and your investments are gone. Money does talk. Most of the time, mine says goodbye. And so you'd be foolish to put all of your trust in men who cannot be trusted, and money cannot be trusted either. Neither might. Don't put your money in might and power. Look at it, what he says in verse 10. Do not trust in oppression. When you do something illegal and you pressure people and oppress people and keep them down, don't do that. Might or power? No. Just because you sit as the chairman and the CEO of an organization or whatever, no. Your trust is not to be put in power. Your trust is not to be put in men or material things. No. He says, I'm putting my trust in God, and I'm doing it constantly every day. So turn to the Lord and trust the Lord. And then finally, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Look at verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for us. And so when you talk to the Lord, you can talk freely. Freely. Talk to the Lord freely. That's what he says. Pour your heart out to the Lord. That's literally what it means. The word pour out literally means to gush out. It just gushes out. You know, sometimes you keep things bottled up on the inside of you. And it just keeps building up. The pressure just keeps building up and building up and building up. And then all of a sudden it explodes. And it just gushes out. And that's what he's saying here. When you talk to the Lord, don't hold back. Talk freely to the Lord. Talk freely as though he is your dearest, closest friend. And indeed he is. So talk freely to the Lord. You can share anything with God. You can share your doubts. You can, whatever it is. God is a big God. He can take care of anything. And so don't hesitate. Don't hold back. When you talk to God, you just pour your heart out to the Lord as though he is your closest, dearest friend. And you probably have somebody like that in your life, a friend that, you know, you can confide in them and just share with them whatever you want to without any fear or hesitation at all. And that's the way you ought to feel toward God. And so talk freely. Just pour your heart out to the Lord. And then look at verses 11 and 12. Do it confidently. Not only talk freely to the Lord, but talk confidently to the Lord. Once God has spoken twice, I have heard this. Now, this is a euphemism, verse 11, once God has spoken twice, I've heard it. It's the Bible's way of saying that this is something he's heard a lot of times. I've heard that God is very powerful, he says. The power belongs to God. And so, mercy is yours, O Lord, for you reward a man according to his work. So when you pour your heart out to the Lord, you can share with him whatever you want to, whatever's on your heart. If it's meaningful for you, if it's significant to you, it's significant to God. I don't care how small, how big it may be. And when you talk freely to the Lord, you can talk confidently to the Lord. He's not going to betray you. He's not going to mislead you. You know, that's the way you are with your best friend. You can confide in your friend and talk freely with them because you trust them to not betray your confidence. And so when you talk to the Lord, talk freely and talk with confidence because you're talking to a God who understands what you're going through. We have not a great high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are and yet without sin. You can't share anything with God that he doesn't already know about it. And Jesus, who's God's Son in the flesh, experienced it without sin. And so when you talk to the Lord, you're talking to somebody who can say, I understand exactly what you're going through. And here's what you can do. He will reward you if you'll turn to him, and if you'll trust him, and if you tell him what's on your heart freely and confidently. I want you to take your hymn book. And if you would, please turn to number 455. This is our hymn of invitation. But I want to tell you the story as to how this hymn came to be written. Hymn number 455. If you'll notice at the bottom of the page who wrote this song, a man by the name of Elisha Hoffman. He was a preacher. And there was a church member, a lady who was known for having gone through several very difficult times in her life. And she was experiencing another hard time in her life, and he got word of it. And he felt like, as pastor, he ought to go try to see if he could comfort her. And so the story goes that when he arrived at her house, she was pacing up and down in her living room, wringing her hands, saying, oh, what shall I do? Oh, what shall I do? And Elisha Hoffman tried to calm her down by quoting scripture to her. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. All things work together for good to them that love God and so forth. Finally, she said, what shall I do? What shall I do? And he said, well, you must tell Jesus. That's what you must do. You must tell Jesus. And boy, a light came on in her face, and she began pacing up and down the floor. And this time she said, that's what I got to do. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. And those words just kept ringing in Elisha Hoffman's mind when he left that house and he went back to his office and sat down at his desk, and he couldn't get away from those words, I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. And so he wrote the words to this song that we now sing. Look at it. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver and make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, he all of my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Only Jesus, only Jesus. Father God, we thank you and praise you for being a God who loves, who understands, but who's also powerful, one to whom we can turn, one in whom we can place our trust, and one in whom we can just pour our hearts out to share our burdens and our cares, casting them all upon him, for he cares for us. Bless now this time of invitation. And whatever decision needs to be made by anyone here, guide and bless them as they do so. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? And as we sing, if God is leading you to make a decision, please come.